Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, South Campus. How you doing? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me? You can hear me. Oh, I love it. How are you? This is a bit strange having this headset on, I'm not going to lie. I haven't preached much with it on. I kind of feel like we're about to do a fitness class. Body pump. Or cycle. If someone had a bike right now, I'd totally just be like, okay, now pump. Now pump. Now turn that thing up. Make it really hard. And just go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. Cycle class. We could do Bible pump. We could just do some Bible pump. That's why you got to bring your Bible to church. You never know when we're going to do Bible pump. Anyway, that's a class we should look into and think about doing at some point. But anyway, you can be seated. You can be seated. It's so good to be here at the 10 a.m. service. I haven't preached here for a little while. So good to be with you. I want to take a moment before I start preaching. Just let's honor our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. Come on. It's always a privilege to get to preach in their pulpit. And I don't take it lightly. I never take the opportunity of preaching lightly. And I think we're all going to have some fun this morning in church. We're all going to learn something together, I hope. And it's going to be awesome. But let's just get straight into it. I want to ask the question this morning. Who enjoys flying? Anybody? A few people? Yeah, most people don't. The whole process of flying is kind of insane when you think about it. It's insane. You have to convince typically one of your closest friends to wake up at 4 a.m. to come get you. Drive you to the airport. If someone asks me, I'm like, look, man, I'll just give you $20. Get an Uber. It's fine. Seriously, I want to sleep. I like to sleep. I have two children. I don't sleep much. So then you finally get there to the airport. And I don't know about you, but every time I fly, everybody in San Diego is flying at exactly the same time. Every single time. You get to curbside. It's kind of stressful. People are everywhere. There's honking. There's beeping. There's a guy with a whistle whistling at people to stop and hugging each other and just get in the car and just leave. Like, just get out of here. You can't hold up the line. There's people everywhere. We didn't think this thing through. And so you finally get inside. You got all your bags. You're inside. You're finally inside. And then you go to the check-in area. And we all know the check-in area. It's the area where there's 100 people lined up. And there's only one person to help those 100 people. And look, I'm not saying I know how to run an airline, because I don't. I don't know how to run an airline. But I'd probably have more than one person on the desk if there's 100 people coming. But anyway, so you finally get to the desk after waiting, and you give them your bags, and they put on the little scale, and they say, "Sorry, sir, you're overweight." And you're like, "I'm trying my best. This is a tough life. I'll do Bible pump. I'll do something. I'm not going to live with it." But you check your bags, and you pay the extra fees, and then you get through to the next part, which is the most fun part, security. Security check. And look, I'm not a bad person. I'm really not a bad person. I don't carry weapons. If you want to take me out, it's probably a good chance you will, because I don't carry weapons with me. I don't even have a pocket knife. I don't carry weapons. I don't carry drugs. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm a pastor at a local church. I'm not a bad person. But I find myself with a high level of stress and anxiety when it comes around the security part, because I just don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. I don't know whether they're going to put me in a room and put some gloves on. I'm not sure what's going to happen. They put you in that body scanner, which someone in a room can see your whole body basically naked. And they're laughing at you and you're like, well, whatever, man. Whatever. And then if you get through security, then you get to go to the loading zone where you sit there and you wait again. And then they have the little person comes on the little microphone, and they always have a really sweet voice. They kind of have to, because either they're going to tell you that your flight's delayed, or they're going to say something really nice like, "Good morning, passengers. Welcome to flight 405 to Sydney, Australia, nonstop. We're going to go ahead and start boarding people right now. So with the platinum members, first class members, business class members, gold class, silver class, bronze class, basically all the successful people, please come forward and get ready to receive a boarding pass. Once you get on the flight, we're going to give you a glass of champagne, which you will drink and condescendingly look at all the economy passengers as they walk past you to their economy area. Thank you. And so you get on the plane, and either you're condescendingly looking at people with your champagne, or you're walking past the people and they're condescendingly looking at you with their champagne. Like, it's 8 in the morning, you're drinking champagne, you've got the problems. I'm fine back here in economy. And you get in the plane takes off. There's turbulence. You know, it's not, I mean, in theory it's safe, but it's not, because you're in a metal tube and you're really high in the sky, you're flying over the ocean and you're going 600 miles an hour. That's around 9 times the speed you'll drive at. It's very fast. So I'm pretty good at flying. I think I'm not afraid of it necessarily. I have screamed during turbulence once or twice. And the person in front of me is like, oh, hope she's okay. Bit awkward. And then I decided to go to a merge conference where I could stop that. Stop that act. That's madness. So anyway, so you fly. Hopefully there's no babies around you, or you're like me and Emma and we have the babies and we're sorry for everybody around us. And you finally arrive at the place, you stop, and then everybody stands up immediately. And then 20 minutes later, they get their stuff and they leave the plane. And then you finally get to the baggage claim, and there's all these bags running around, and you're looking for your bag, and you're kind of hoping it comes out, please come out bag. And then surely enough, they usually do, depending on who you're flying with. You know, they'll come out, the one bag will come out, another one, four, five, six, however many you travel with, they'll all come out. You'll have all your bags. You'll be able to put them on a tiny little cart, which is not big enough for even one bag. You'll put all your bags on your little cart. You'll push it outside. You'll probably dislocate your hip trying to get it into the cab. And then you'll get to lug all this baggage around for your entire vacation. Everywhere you go, you'll be able to carry all these bags around, and you'll have all your stuff with you. You're going to love it. And then you'll get home and you'll unpack all your stuff and you'll realize, gosh, I don't know if I needed to take 12 bags with me for my 5-night stay in Los Angeles. I just don't know if I needed to do that. So you're unpacking all your stuff and you realize you've got way too much. Any overpackers in the place? Any overpackers? Yes, stop it. There's a reason why the airports are slowing down, because those guys are throwing all your bags in. Overpackers. I'm an underpacker. I'm serious. I would just go wherever with whatever I've got on me and maybe a satchel, Indiana Jones style, maybe a satchel. That's it. I'm an underpacker. I love it. But I wonder if in life we spend our lives like we do our travels. We wonder why we're tired, exhausted, our hips out, and maybe hips out for another reason, I don't know. But we wonder why life's difficult, or why we're tired, but we don't really realize that we're actually carrying so much baggage that we probably shouldn't even be carrying. I wonder, even if looking at my own life, do I actually stop and take a minute to assess my life? Man, what baggage am I carrying? What am I carrying that I really should be letting go of? What am I lugging around in this heavy old bag that just needs to be discarded? And so the title of my message this morning, for all those who are taking notes that want to go to heaven, is Baggage Claim. Always gets a good laugh, that joke. Always does. Someone's writing that down, like, make sure. All right. Baggage claim. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning, the 10 a.m. service, South Campus. God, I thank you that my words will help some people today, God. That people today will be free from baggage, God. That maybe it's baggage that they've had for a week. Maybe it's baggage they've had for a month. Maybe it's baggage they've had for a lifetime. But today, I thank you that people will get free from something today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Philippians 3:13-14. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I press on to finish the race. God didn't call you and I just to start a race, just to get halfway through. He actually called you and I to finish the race. And the reason why it's important for you and I to get rid of our excess baggage in our life is because God actually has a race for you to run. He has an amazing life, an amazing journey, an amazing future for you to run. And the devil wants you and I to be so stuck carrying our baggage, lugging around baggage that we don't need to be lugging around. I've never watched a marathon at all, but I've never watched the end of a marathon, someone running through the finish line, the ribbon and all that moment. I've never seen somebody run a marathon at the end and behind them a couple of fantastic Samsonite suitcases. They've run a whole marathon with two 100-pound suitcases right behind them. I've never once actually seen that. So today I just want to talk about maybe two or three things that we need to take and get out of our baggage so we can be free to live the life that God's called you and I to live. And to be honest with you, we could probably preach on this for a few months, but we're going to try and do it in 29 minutes. So let's just see how we go with that. But now, the first thing I want to talk to you about today, let's just get straight into this today. The first thing I want to talk to you about is regret. 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 Anybody ever done anything that they've ever regretted? Anybody here who's not perfect? A few of you. Wow, this is a great church. We should definitely stay here. This is great. I mean, perfect people everywhere. This is awesome. Oh my gosh. I remember when I was, my sister's here from Australia. She might remember this story. I was 15 and my friend was bleaching people's hair. Some of you are ahead of me. And so I decided it would be great if I bleached my hair bright blonde. Just really awkward. I have massive black eyebrows. So it really, didn't look as cool as I thought. But at the time, I went to a Christian school, a great school, a private school, and they somehow, through the gossip of the town, discovered that I had bleached my hair bright blonde. And they found out, they called my parents and said, hey, Drew can't come to school because he has bright blonde bleached hair. It's against the rules. He can't come to school. So I had to go to the hair salon and they had to try and make it black again. And I don't know if you've ever done this before. Maybe you have. Maybe you've bleached your hair bright white and then tried to turn it black a few days later, but it doesn't really work. So in the end, my hair was like a multicolored facet, somewhere between the kids' church purple shirt color and a maroon seat sitting at the back. My hair looked ridiculous. Regret. Absolute regret in my decision to bleach my hair. And that's a funny, stupid example, but I think that there are maybe bigger things in our life that we regret, that we carry with us in our lives. There are three words that will do damage to your life. And those words are, I should have. I should have. Three other words that will also do damage to your life, I shouldn't have. I should have, or I shouldn't have. Man, I should have started that company. I have a box of props over here because I thought it'd be fun just to have props in church. Why not? If I'm bored up here and I'm preaching, then you're bored watching me, that's for sure. So we go through life and we have this great suitcase. It starts out empty, but the devil loves for us to fill this with stuff that's not supposed to be in there, to weigh us down, tire us out. And it starts with all the things we should have done or shouldn't have done. I should have started that company. It's too late now. So you just start packing it. What have we got in here? Painter's putty. You don't need that when you go on vacation. So you start filling your life with stuff you don't need. You start filling your life with, I should have, I shouldn't have, I should. Mismatched shoes. Why would you take mismatched shoes? You wouldn't take that. You wouldn't put that in your suitcase. So why would you and I walk through life with the should-haves or shouldn't-haves of our life? Man, I shouldn't have invested in that thing. I shouldn't have loaned that person money. I shouldn't have. Should have done this. This is baseboard. Why would you take baseboard with you?
anywhere you go.
Unless you're a baseboard installer, and then you might. Why would you take it on vacation with you? So, yeah, I shouldn't have gotten into that relationship. Let's keep that one tucked in here. We don't want to lose that one. Definitely shouldn't have done that. And so we can easily spend our lives packing things into our suitcase that we just shouldn't have. We shouldn't have these things with us. We shouldn't be carrying these things farm to table, decor, just in case you... And this is a great decor, nothing against it, but why would you take that with you on vacation? So we spend our lives, if we're not careful, starting to pack the suitcase with all the things that we should have or shouldn't have done. Man, I shouldn't have done that thing. I just wish I didn't take that first drug all those years ago. Now I'm hooked, I should have or I shouldn't have. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up walking around in life with bags that are full of things that we should or shouldn't have done. And how do we deal with that? You see, we aren't supposed to carry regrets, the things that we should or shouldn't have done. Because our regret can't change anything. The regret that we feel just makes us more dysfunctional. The regret doesn't take away the fact that we did or didn't do something. The regret, it just makes us more dysfunctional. It makes us more like the characters from the TV show Friends. I grew up watching Friends. Chandler was my favorite. He's funny. But Friends, I mean, talk about like the most dysfunctional, dramatic, like living in regret from all these previous relationships, problems. I don't even know how they paid rent. They're just in a coffee shop all day. You're in New York City. Rent's got to be phenomenal. But they're in Central Perk just sipping on coffees, talking about their latest relationship and how that person was messed up. And then they brought that messed up thing into this relationship. And they're walking in all this regret, all these problems. Like it took Ross 10 seasons to figure out he liked Rachel. If you're a Ross, stop it. If you're a Ross, stop it. Figure it out. Took him 10 seasons to figure out that he likes Rachel. I mean, this was dysfunction. This was people carrying regrets from everything into their life, from one relationship to the next. That's not God's plan for you. That's not God's plan for you. It's not that you would spend your whole life sitting around Central Perk talking about all the broken relationships you've had and you're trying to figure it all out. That's not God's plan for you. In fact, you know, I'd say that all we have to do is just listen to music and we will hear the soundtrack of so many people's hearts. We will hear that the regret that's out there in people's histories, people's hurts from previous relationships. You know, I think of really one of the greatest bands of all time, Boys to Men. Yeah, always a big female scream for Boys to Men. Boys to Men. Listen, if you've never broken up with somebody and cried while listening to Boys to Men, I suggest you try it. I'm kidding. Don't. It's a joke. Although we've come to the end of the road, still I can't let you go. It's unnatural who you belong to me, who I belong to you. But this is the kicker. This is the kicker. Baby, I'm sorry. I regret what I did. I didn't mean to hurt you. I can't go on without you. Please come back to me, baby. I'll change. I'll become the man you need me to be. I'm so sorry, baby. Just come back to me. Just come back to me. And there's that deep voice guy. He made Boys to Men what it was. He made Boys to Men what it was. So upset about relationships, man. Like music is so full of it, of people that, okay, a relationship derails, it's not good, but at some point you can't keep carrying that baggage. You can't keep carrying that thing. Who would take a vacuum with them? Who would take a vacuum with them on vacation? Who would take that relationship with them? Who would take these? Who would take hedge trimmers? Come on, who wants to take their boyfriend from high school with them, around with them for the rest of their life? Some people do. Oh, your boyfriend from middle school. Oh, he told you he was going to be faithful. Oh, man, at the dance. I'm going to be faithful to you forever. I'm 13. Then he broke your heart. So you better pack this printer just in case you need to print something on vacation. HP, good printer. It's everywhere. It's everywhere we look. People carrying stuff they don't need to carry. Bruno Mars sings about it. But I should have bought you flowers and held your hand. Should have gave you all my hours when I had the chance. Take you to every party because all you wanted to do was dance. But now my baby's dancing, but she's dancing with another man. Should have. You should have bought her flowers, but you didn't. Should have gave you all your hours, but you didn't. So you can't keep packing. You can't keep on talking about Bruno, all the things you should have done. You've just got to move on. You didn't buy her flowers. You didn't give her all your hours. You didn't. She's dancing with another man. I'm sorry. You can't keep carrying that stuff. We can't carry baggage with us. We got to move on. We got to move on. And listen, I'm not being insensitive. I know everyone's got a different story. I know there are people in here today with, and I know some of the stories with some real pain, some real hurts, and I know it's difficult sometimes. I know it might be really challenging, but here's the thing. I don't need to know your circumstance because I do know a God that's bigger than your circumstance. I know a God that's bigger than your baggage. I know a God who is greater than all those mistakes you've made and those things that have happened to you. And I do know this, that life is way too short for you to carry that stuff around for the rest of your life. Today is your day to get free from some of those regrets. Somebody say amen. God is in the business of restoring things that the devil wants us to regret. Maybe you're not living in regret. Maybe regret's not your big issue. Maybe you're cool with everything. Maybe you're stuck in the good old days. Maybe that's you, the good old days. Cher said it beautifully. If I could turn back time. Ironically, this is the one Sunday where you can turn back time. Which makes this point very difficult to preach. So, okay, you can't turn back time. Side note, yes, you can once a year for 1 hour. But you lose that hour at a different time of the year. Okay, I get it. Go with the point. The point is you can't turn back time. You can't turn back time. You can't go back to the good old days. You can't. You can't go back in time. No one's ever going to invent that. Back to the Future is a fantastic film. 1 and 2, 3, not sure about it, but fantastic 1 and 2. We can't go back in time. And why this is important is because in Isaiah 43, it says, forget the former things. And we may read that and think it should say, forget the bad things. But it says, forget the former things, not forget the bad things. Do not dwell on the past. There's a difference between remembering the past and dwelling the past. We're not called to forget about our past completely, but we're not called to dwell on our past. Now, here we go, verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. So God's ability to do something new in my life is totally dependent on my ability to let go of my old and trust that God's new is better than my old. You have to trust God. We can't be looking back at the good old days. Why is this important from a baggage perspective? Because for some of us, we're packing in our baggage our photo albums. We're packing in our photo albums of all the good old days of when, oh man, my college years, they were the best years of my life, and this is who I used to be, and gosh, you know, life was so great back then, and life was easier back then, and listen, why this is a big problem is because your best days are not behind you. And it's actually a complete lie of the enemy when he tells you that your best days are behind you. He would love for you to fill your bag with all your photo albums, celebrating the life that once was, But God wants to tell you today that your best days are not behind you. Your best days are in fact ahead of you. And I don't care if you're 18 or 88 years old sitting in here today, your best days are actually ahead of you. God has still got a plan. God is still writing your story. God's still got photos to add to your photo album. That's why you're here. There's still a project for you to do. There's still a life for you to live. There's still a mission for you to fulfill. God's not done with you yet. I'll have the worship team come up. We're going to finish shortly, in a couple hours. The third thing, and I could have preached the whole message on this because there's so much to go into. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. A lot of our baggage can be related to unforgiveness. And unforgiveness essentially is a choice that we have. It's a choice that we have in our lives to make. It's a choice that I have to make every single day. Do I choose to forgive or do I choose not to? It's a choice we make. It's in my hands. It's in your hands. There's a saying out there. It's, I guess, in the business world. I don't know. You probably heard it, Stephen. E plus R equals O, which stands for event plus response equals outcome. So it's really simple. It's not algebra. You can write it down really simply. E plus R equals O. So events will happen to you and I. Things will happen to you and I that are out of our control. We can't control the E, but we can control the R. The R is the response. So things are going to happen to you and I. Good things are going to happen to us. Bad things are going to happen to us. Tragic things are going to happen to us. I'm not being negative. It's just life. Things are going to happen to us. But it's not so much the E that we control. It's the response. It's the R. And that actually determines the outcome. We have a choice. We have a choice to make. So for example, and this is just having some fun in church. Didn't happen. If Mike Yeager came to my house when I was not there and slashed the tires of my car and I came home, I would be faced with an interesting event. I would have to wonder, why did Mike slash the tires of my car? I would think to myself, maybe he's having a rough patch. Maybe something's gone wrong. Maybe something's gone wrong with Mike. I've got to sit down with Mike and see what's happening in his world. I've got to choose how I respond to that. And if I wanted to, I could say, well, that's it, Mike. That's it. And don't slash my tires, please. That's it. You're cut from my life. You're cut forever. I could be angry at him. I could hate him. I could choose to complain about him every day to my wife for the next 10 years. And she'd get sick of hearing that. Oh, 10 years ago, Mike Yeager slashed my tires. I'm still angry about it. All that unforgiveness that I could choose to have, because event plus response equals that. All my response is going to do is going to hurt me. It's not going to affect Mike. It's not going to put air back in my tires. The things that we can't forgive someone for, it's not going to change the problem. It's not going to change the fact that it happened. Forgiveness changes us. Forgiveness says, I'm not going to pack the bag. Forgiveness says, I'm not going to fill that bag with stuff that doesn't need to be in there. And I found that unforgiveness has a snowball effect, that even something very small that happened maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, has a compounding effect where it may have been a small thing back then, but now because it's been rolled down the hill, the snowball's now so massive, it's so huge, you can't figure out how to defeat it. Unforgiveness. And some of us have an amazing memory, and we are really good at memorizing things that we probably shouldn't. So we pack our bag full of unforgiveness. Kettlebell. I'd do a few swings, but, you know, gotta save my energy for the Bible pump. So we get this, this 10 pounds. Pretty light, really. Doing traps. 10 pounds. So we put this in our bag from that person that stole money from us 20 years ago, and leave that in there, nice and heavy. Forgiveness. Then there's that family member that did wrong by us. Again, weights. Because unforgiveness is heavy. Like, if you're wondering why your bag's so heavy, it's because it might have unforgiveness in it. So you got unforgiveness for someone from your family. They've forgotten about it. It happened 20 years ago, but it's in your bag. You've been pulling it around for 20 years. Time to be free of it. Time to let that thing go today. Time to let that thing go. Unforgiveness has a way of weighing us down in our lives. Sometimes ever so subtly that we don't even know it's maybe even happening. Carrying that baggage around. What a pointless weight to carry. You know, I think of Jesus up on that cross. And one of the things he said was, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He had every reason to be offended. He had every reason to not forgive. They were nailing him to a cross. Gosh. But I love Jesus because that's the response. He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And then there's always the problem of forgiving ourselves too. Not just others, but ourselves. We can go through life and be so hard on ourselves, can't we? We can blame ourselves for everything. So you're not a perfect parent. I don't know who is. Who is a perfect parent? And why have they not got a TV show helping us all become perfect parents? So you beat yourself up. Man, I should be the perfect parent. I can't believe I missed that soccer game. I had to go to work. You can't win. You never feel like you measure up, so you just keep packing baggage in, not forgiving yourself for all your imperfections. And you and I can go through life, and if we choose to, we can just continue to pack our bags full of, again, cutting board. Why would you take a cut? This is to make the point that this is ridiculous. Man, you got that thing you did. You got that DUI 10 years ago. You can't let it go. Such a failure. The devil loves that. Oh, he loves that. Self-hatred, he loves that. Not being able to forgive yourself, he loves that. Packs the bag full of things and mistakes that you and I have made, and no one's perfect. It's so easy in life, isn't it, to not forgive yourself? And I'm not saying that we should hold ourselves to a lower standard, but I just wonder sometimes, are we living in a time where people are so, they're self-harming their soul? You know, I love goals. You should set goals. Come on, you get a vision for your life, you set goals, you make steps, go do it, knock yourself out, hustle, grind, all those things. Work 100 hours a week, become successful, do that, do it, it's good. Absolutely, we should be crushing it in life. We should be winning in the marketplace. But last time I checked, goals were there to motivate us to succeed, not to drive us into the ground if we fail. So we've got these like millennials. And I listened to a business podcast recently. There's a millennial that calls in, talks to the guy who's running the podcast. She's 23 years old, roughly, somewhere in there. And she's so down on her life because she hasn't achieved all these things she thought she was supposed to have achieved by now. And she's like 23 years old, having a midlife crisis. And she's 23, millennial. And the guy running the podcast says, what's wrong with you? Why are you calling me right now, all down yourself, when you should just be out there working away, working at life? Why are you defeated? And he's like, who do you compare yourself to? And she said, oh, Kim Kardashian. So your role model's Kim Kardashian, problem one. Yeah. Problem two, you're expecting yourself to have all this success and you're 23 years old? What? So you can't forgive yourself for not being where you think you need to be? Comparing yourself, man, he's doing better than me, or she's doing better than me. It's just baggage. It's just incredible. The devil loves this kind of stuff. Comparison, oh, he loves it because it's more baggage. It's more baggage. And I'm not saying not to set goals, not to go after them. But listen, what if your goal was to be a billionaire? Wouldn't that be a fantastic goal to have? If you become a billionaire, that's awesome. Buy a yacht, we'll come and we'll party on it. Let's do it. I'm not against someone becoming a billionaire. Let's say your goal is to be a billionaire. And things kind of go wrong. Life happens, you get derailed. Stuff just doesn't work out like you hoped it would. but you do okay. You're still worth $500 million. Let's just say. Are you going to beat yourself up and drive yourself into the ground because of the $500 million that you don't have? Or are you going to stop and say, you know what? I'm worth $500 million. I've been somewhat successful. I'm going to cut myself a break and throw a little party and say, guess what? I maybe didn't achieve my full goal, but I did okay. I did the best I could. I'm not going to let my life become this baggage fest because I'm not where I crazy goal says I should be. But we've got millennials. We've got people having midlife crisis. We've got quarter life crisis. We've got people that are laying on their deathbeds, like regretting the life that they have because they had all these crazy expectations and they're beating themselves up and they're carrying baggage around they should never have ever carried, ever. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, man, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Pastor Drew, but I kind of like my baggage. I'm kind of used to my baggage. I mean, I've had this stuff for my whole life. I've had this cooking spray for 20 years. It's out of date. I've been carrying this for so long, I'm actually used to it. I don't even know what it's like to not have this. I don't even know what it's like to not have unforgiveness in my heart. I'm not even sure what it's like to not regret. I'm not even sure what it's like to not be looking at the past. Maybe you're so used to it. And the devil loves that because he gets us used to it. We're used to just carrying the baggage. And so maybe you're here today saying, well, why get rid of it? I'm used to it. I've got it. Let's go back to Philippians 3. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. The reason why you and I have to get rid of the baggage in our life is because God has a race for you and I to run, and not just to start, but to finish. He has a great purpose for your life. He has a great plan for your life. He has great things for you to do. He has a great mission for you to be part of. The reason why I call this message baggage claim is because baggage claim is exactly that. It's baggage claim. Because you and I have the choice to pick up the baggage or not at the airport. And maybe somebody in here today, this is your day to walk straight past that baggage claim area and say, you know what? I'm gonna let that thing spin around on that little thing, on that little conveyor belt. I'm not gonna go back and get that thing because God's got a race for me to run. He has a plan for me. He has a life for me. He has a purpose for me. He has a marriage for me to build. He has a family for me to raise. He has greater things for me to do. And I don't have time for this. I don't have time for cutting boards or cooking spray or painter's tape or kettlebells, especially. You ain't got time for this. We don't have time for this. God has a life for you that's so much bigger than all this baggage. Everyone jump to your feet. Everyone jump to your feet. Listen, if you need to be free of some baggage in your life today, in the last 2 minutes we've got, I want you to raise your hands to heaven right now. I want to pray over you. God, I thank you. God, for anybody in here who's dealing with baggage, God, I set people free right now of any negative experience, any regrets that people have in their life, unforgiveness in people's heart. I'm telling you, the touch of God is here right now for people who are struggling with unforgiveness. If that's you, you don't have to come down the front. You don't have to say anything to me. Go ahead right now in this moment and make a choice to put that baggage down. Make a choice to forgive that person for that thing. It may have happened 12 years ago. It may have happened last week. I don't know. But make a choice right now to be free from unforgiveness. Make a choice to be free from your past. Make a choice to be free from your regret, because God has such an amazing, incredible life ahead for you. And I don't want anybody in our church to spend their life carrying around baggage when they should be living a life that God has for them. Come on, if you believe, why don't you give Jesus one more major shout? Come on, give him some praise. Come on, if you're free of something, why don't you shout amen?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.